All right, you're listening to Howard Shore's Jacob Black from the Twilight Eclipse score. And you're listening to that as a little teaser for the rest of today's episode, which you're listening to The Real World on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. The Real World, it's UBC Film Society's radio segment where we talk about all things film related. And if you're interested in hearing a little bit more about what the Film Society is up to, you can check out our Instagram at UBC Film Society. For today's episode, I am Lily, hosting The Real World, and I'm very excited because this week we have a fun episode all about guilty pleasure movies. And here to dive into some of these movies that we just can't help but love, I've got some very special guests in the studio. First, we've got Emma.
Hi!
Emma used to host The Real World
yes,
with
I
me.
Did.
And then also on our own.
Yeah.
And we've also got Grace.
Hello.
Grace will be taking over the show this summer and fall.
Yep.
So we've got three generations
this is crazy.
Of Film Society hosts for The Real World, which is very exciting. And it's great because it's a very fun episode today where we might be talking about Twilight. You'll just have to wait and see.
Super exciting.
But first, we're going to have a very short break. So just hang tight. We'll be right back.
The annual Sled Island Music and Arts Festival is back from June 17th to the 21st, presented by Service Credit Union. Experience 5 days of music, comedy, art, and much more in diverse venues across Calgary, Alberta. Joining Sled Island's previously announced guest curator, Clipping, is English chamber folk ensemble Black Country, New Road, and revered Canadian pop project, Home Shake, as well as renowned abstract rapper, Billy Woods, LA synthpunks, Sextile, fuzzy indie rock outfit, Feeble Little Horse, outlandish egg punk group, Snooper, lo-fi post-punk duo, Sweeping Promises, NYC-based ambient pioneer, Laraji, genre-bending dream pop artist Salami Rose Joe Lewis, and many more. Plus, there's over 150 more artists still to be announced. Check out the current lineup and get your passes and tickets at sledisland.com. sledisland.com.
Are you interested in radio? Do you want to start your own show but you don't know where to get started? Make your radio dreams come true by joining a collective. From the news collective, the arts collective, the music collective, the sports collective, the accessibility collective, the indigenous collective, and the intersectionality collective, there's something for everyone. And we provide free technical training to get started. Explore these worlds virtually and in person, and be prepared to make fun friends. For more information, visit citr.ca/get involved.
Do you want to advertise with CITR Radio and Discorder Magazine? Well, good news, you can. Our copies of Discorder Magazine span 6,000 square kilometers and reach 3 million inhabitants across 32 locations here in Vancouver. Advertising with Discorder Magazine means being seen from UBC to New Westminster. Along with print, we offer advertising online, offering you a viewership to over 100,000 engaging with our content. From radio ads to Discorder Magazine and our online presence, CITR and Discorder Magazine knows how to get you seen. Contact sponsorship@citr.ca to get advertising today. sponsorship@citr.ca.
But we got booked for like this Vancouver indie music night. And so it was all like, you know, jangly guitar and like very soft music. But we were the very first band out of the four to play. And like the guitars were screaming. Like
you want them to have fun and like dance and like enjoy themselves. You can't make them all depressed.
Sure.
Immediately at least.
Yep.
Vancouver is full of incredibly talented and passionate artists, and a lot of them have a lot to say. Join us every second Tuesday from 4 to 5 for Amateur Hour to hear from local, student, and amateur musicians about the music they make and the music they love. Localize your music library with us right here on 101.9 FM CITR Community Radio.
This is sort of just like a gestalt, I guess, of like all of that together.
You know what made me realize that?
What's that?
Sonic and Mario kissing.
Okay, this is stupid. Let's end the show.
All right, thanks for hanging tight. We're back. This is The Real World on CITR 101.9 FM, and today we're talking about guilty pleasure movies.
Yay.
First of all, Grace and Emma, what does that mean to you? Because I was having a really hard time picking, because a lot of like the typical guilty pleasure movies I was looking up on Letterboxd, like what people have made lists about, guilty pleasure movies, I'm like, I don't really feel guilty about being pleased by that.
Yeah.
So
I really felt that dilemma. I was trying to think of movies that are like probably like objectively kind of trash, but you still enjoy, because like my first thought I was like, oh, like Bottoms or something, but I'm like, but that's a good movie.
Yeah,
I'm like, I don't want to even label that a guilty pleasure.
I don't want to dunk on it like that.
I know.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
I think I went through like anything I rated 5 stars in a heart. I was like, which of these kind of sucks? Like, which of these would I feel ashamed to say I gave it 5 stars in a heart? And that's where I think I landed on like all of my stuff for that was like, I don't want to confess this. Like, if I was at a film festival and they're like, what are your top four? I'm not saying these. Even if they are in my heart, my top four, you know, I'll lose my filmmaker street cred. They'll take me out.
They'll take you. Okay, that's a good definition. I feel like mine kind of falls under that.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the Now You See Me movies, and I think the one that like applies most to this category is the most recent one, Now You See Me, Now You Don't. I've only seen this, like, the third one of the three in the Now You See Me series.
Really?
Once.
Once? Okay, I thought that was it.
Let me finish.
Really?
I kind of just skipped to this one, and I don't think I'm going to circle back to the first two. No. I've seen the other ones. I've seen the other ones countless times.
Good.
Of course.
Just this one, I've only seen the one time, like, right when it came out. But I consider it like the most guilty pleasure out of all of them, because even though they're all fun and exciting in a very similar way, I feel like this one you kind of love to hate it, but also hate to love it in a very like classic way. And you can't help it because they're doing something that so many series like try to do, which is like the next generation. And so you can't help but like being so invested in the Now You See Me, like the whole universe and all the things they do, but like, come on, you kind of hate it a little bit when they're doing this most like a stereotypical like coming back after however many years it's been and bringing on this like younger generation.
It's like, I remember watching, I was so excited to watch it. I don't remember when. Do you remember when it came out? Was it Christmas time or something like that? Like, I feel like it was like winter.
It was in winter, for sure.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, I wanted to see it in theaters, but then I went abroad and it just wasn't screening there. So I was like, oh, well, I guess I'll see it. Yeah. It was messed up. And then I think I just watched it, like, I watched it with my family. I remember just being like, oh my God, the guy hyped this up so much.
Yeah.
And they're going to take away movie picking privileges again. I can't lose those again. I just got them back. It was like, I honestly, I was just there for Dominic Sessa.
Yeah.
Like, I was just happy to see him, you know, happy to see him employed. Like, I was like, all right, you know what? I hope you got good money out of it.
Yeah. So on the topic of the next generation, if they're going to do that and what's happening next with the new generation of horsemen, I'm glad they brought on this cast of to play these new characters, like the younger versions or whatever.
Yeah.
Or not the younger versions of the originals, but you know what I mean.
Like the younger editions.
Yeah.
And I know, because I think the last thing I saw, was it Jaden Smith? Was he in this, or am I thinking of someone?
Justice Smith.
Justice Smith. I saw him in, like, I saw the TV glow.
Yeah.
So that was really a jump to go from, like, oh, that, and to this. It was like, all right.
I guess
me too.
Mind.
Yeah. Which was, like, a big, you know, that film was, like, I love that one.
Yeah,
like,
me
it makes
too.
Me sick to watch it, but I love it so much.
That's a good one.
But yeah, then seeing this, I was like, wow, okay.
He has range. Low-key
range.
Yeah.
Like, all right. You know, protect shitty roles. Like, you gotta have a film that's good for just like, I'm glad I got popcorn while watching this. You know, like, that's kind of what I came away from.
And then Ariana Greenblatt.
Yes. Because she was in Barbie, right?
I know. She must be loaded. is Barbie, Now You See Me 3. Like, I know she has hella money. So literally. Good for her.
I know. And she's like younger than us.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that.
Messed up.
I only want to hear about people who are older than me successful. Because then I got time. You know, if they're like 19, I don't want to hear it. Keep that
just
to yourself.
Don't think
like,
about
actually
it.
Keep it to yourself. Yeah. I need them gone.
I wish I was a Nepo child every day of my life.
I would be insufferable.
Yes.
I know. They hate to see me coming. But yeah, now I remember really liking, what was it about Night? I liked like the magic, you know? Yeah. I do think they kind of preserved that from the original too. There were moments where like the dialogue, I was definitely like, a few more runs around the writer's room. But the visual, like the magic of it all, I was like, I'm having fun. I want to go learn card tricks now. So maybe it did its job.
Yeah. Those series have so many like iconic scenes, like the scene in the second with like the card.
My friends
and I reference that all the time. We'll just throw each other imaginary cards, like it's awesome. I just think it's like so like great. It's such like movie magic.
Yeah,
movies. And like the like fish tank in the first one with like the piranhas or whatever, like
just a banger.
It's just like fun to watch. Like I remember I watched two of them, like the first two, on like a long plane ride, and I was entertained as hell. Like, it was awesome.
These like movies were designed for planes.
Yes, exactly.
They should have skipped theater release right to
plane. I know. It's like, ideal viewing experience.
Oh yeah,
it was awesome.
That's so true. And I feel like that's really relevant to like guilty pleasure movies almost, because like the viral moments and being able to like bandwagon onto something that like is a little bit ridiculous or silly but like draw so much entertainment out of it. But exactly what you're talking about, I was thinking a lot about the card scene. Yeah. Like, that's so viral. And, like, I feel like you're always circling back to it in your feed somehow.
Yeah.
It, like, pops up every once in a while.
So often.
Or, like, the plane trick at the end of the second movie.
Yes.
Like, I feel like, and then the tank. Like, I feel like there's a lot of moments like that you keep coming back to. I don't know if I'm going to keep coming back to any of the moments in Now You See Me, Now You Don't.
I think about Dominic Sessa driving a race car a lot. That one sticks in my mind because I'm just like, who did they stick behind the wheel, you know? Because I know he wasn't doing that. Like,
the hidden talent.
Exactly.
Underestimate
Dominic Sessa. He's going to F1 next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
So. Confirmed.
The range, acting range, and also just like their range of talents.
Exactly.
Yes. We need to talk about it.
Yeah.
The younger generation. And yeah, what you were saying about like the magic of it all, I feel like that was still there. Like, I feel like they are like introducing maybe a bit more like technology instead of traditional like card tricks that we got on the stage, but it's still very interesting. And I think something that was special about this new film was we got to go into the headquarters, or like the former headquarters of the Eye, and like see all these like magic contraptions and magic rooms, and that was really exciting.
Fun. I liked the rooms. I liked when they were running around, like it was like shrinking and stuff, and they were in like the mirror room. I was like, all right. Yeah, I rock with this, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in a fun house. This is awesome.
Exactly. And they're, like, going through all the rooms. And it was kind of, like, the way that you're so gripped by, like, them moving between spaces. And you don't even, like, really need to understand it or, like, be so invested in it for you to just not want to look away. It, like, reminded me of, like, the first couple films where I'm not sure which one it is. Maybe it's the second one where they're just like running across all the rooftops.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the second one.
Yeah.
Like
so,
so many
down
like
the slide and go to China.
Like the over the top. spoiler. No, we split spoilers on this show. But the over the topness of the escapes is just insane.
So,
and like it will be something that I'll always come back to.
Oh, yeah.
And then we got also these great reveals of each of the horsemen coming back. And like, well, I guess for context, if you've seen the first two, the four horsemen reunite and they team up with the new generation to expose a diamond heiress and her global money laundering schemes.
Rosamund Pike?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this takes place about 11 years after the events of the first two films. Because the first two films are like pretty close together.
Yeah.
And then this is like these events take place 11 years later.
Yeah.
And we get this like epic return of each of the characters, like especially when you don't think like Lula's going to be there.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of have to wait it out. Like, I love that. Like, I don't really love that girl particularly, but I was like,
oh my God, she's here. Yeah.
They're just really good at, I don't know if you guys are predicting it, but these are the types of movies where like my brain is shut up enough that like I don't try to predict it, I guess.
Yeah.
If I wanted to, I could. Yeah. But like, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't trying to predict the twists, and these are movies that I would really give credit of like they're invested in having one big mm-hmm. twist, which yeah. I love.
Yeah.
Yes.
And just like a fun twist. Like yeah. nothing that you're like can be mad at either.
No. They're very fun movies, you know? They're good to just kind of watch if you're like, eh, might as well.
Yeah. And something else I appreciate about it is that I never like feel so invested in it that I'm like, oh, they should have just like left it how it was and not yeah. touched it. You know how some people are like that, like very protective of yeah. like, I don't know like how this would be, but like maybe your superhero movies or like, you know, when they yeah. keep remaking and like readjusting, yeah. it's like, just leave it how it is. Like, don't touch it. I don't feel that way about these films because you're not like, you're not that invested yeah. in these characters that like you genuinely care about what happens to them. You're like, yeah, just keep pumping them out. Like,
yeah,
who cares? It's and like, also whatever. You could make that movie 3 hours and I would still watch it. Like, yeah. I was sitting there at the end and I was like, no, I could watch another hour of that yeah. easily of them yeah. just going back and forth, like doing some tricks. Like,
no, totally.
I just don't like, that's all I need. I just yeah. need to see their little tricks.
Petition
and
to make them the new Avengers, the four yeah. horsemen.
Yeah,
plan.
They,
horsemen.
They show up in the next more, Avengers more, movie.
Yeah. Turn it into a multiverse, now you see me situation. I'm cool. seated. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm there.
And maybe we'll get into this a little bit more with the films that you guys picked. But
yeah.
I think for me, this one also has like these films, not the one that we've been talking about the most, Now You See Me, Now You Don't, but the first two really have like a nostalgic aspect
yeah.
to them.
Yeah.
I feel like they were the first films that felt like a little less kiddish that I really mm-hmm. started to like rewatch again and again yeah. when I was little. And they're the perfect movies to just have under any circumstance. Like, it's so exciting to show these movies to yes. your friends, like yeah. if it's their first time seeing it. And it's also such a great, like, the first two, they're so fun to put on just like in the background of
yeah.
Doing whatever. Like, I feel like I have really specific memories of like going like over the holidays at home, like doing a puzzle and playing Now You See Me in the background yeah. or stuff like that.
Such they're good background movies.
They yes. are. And yeah, just like always coming back to the iconic scenes. But yeah, they're so good. You guys like the casting for this one? Like, you enjoyed it?
Yes.
I love Dominic Sessa. I'm so, we were talking about this earlier, but I'm so excited for Tony. I love Anthony Bourdain. I love Matt Johnson. I love Canada. very excited for everything that's going to unfold in there. Dominic Sessa, keep staying employed. Thank you if yeah. you're listening, because he is.
For sure listening.
Yeah, number one yeah. listener of the real world, Dominic Sessa.
I also rock with a Jesse Eisenberg yeah. movie. If yeah. he can keep funding his little like indie directorial yeah. movies, then I'm like, put him in more Now You See Me. Like, literally. I don't care.
This is what's
I love him. Yes.
If this is what it takes to pay yeah. off that like real pain debt,
keep him coming.
Do it.
That's so true. That's a good way to look at it.
Yes.
I wish Mark Ruffalo was in it a little bit
I
know. More. Though.
I literally just remembered Mark Ruffalo.
Always
to, and I was like,
always.
What a stacked cast. Isn't Morgan yeah. Freeman in
yeah.
these like yeah. guys?
Like, they were really
this is
like,
A-list.
Crazy.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, they're triple A-list. For it.
I was rereading some of like the plot descriptions just to remind myself. And yeah, they're like, they have to turn to Thaddeus, a famous debunker, for help. I'm like, this is, who thought of this? Yeah. Like, I literally love it. And then the second one, a devious tech wizard, Walter Mabry. So Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe. Forces the infamous magicians to steal a powerful chip that can control all of the world's computers.
It's awesome.
You know, you're all right. Yeah.
It's like that. A Mad Lib. Like, yeah. you're just throwing stuff at the wall.
Yes, and.
Like, seeing what sticks.
All yeah. of the world's, what should we pick? Computers?
No,
yeah.
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 Computers. Yeah. Yeah. Just all the world's computers.
Yeah. And Daniel Radcliffe wants them. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
It makes
and he's
so
like 5'5".
Sense.
Five.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I'm obsessed. And yeah, you're right. Every time you remember someone else who's in these films, it's just like, wow.
Yeah.
So
they've
good.
Done it.
So many of them.
And I rewatched the last scene of Now You See Me, Now You Don't. And it's Mark Ruffalo in hologram or.
Yeah.
Or he's like, we're just getting started. I'm like, thank God. Thank God we're just at the start. I need this for my whole life, actually.
Yeah. Just show these coming. To our grandchildren.
Yeah. 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 Well, let's listen. This is so iconic. I was listening to Now You See Me, the song.
Yeah.
This one's by Brian Taylor. I think he also composed like the first film, maybe the second as well. But every single note is just like, wow. I remember how gripping this film
Go
is.
Go, Brian.
Here is Now You See Me.
Thank you.
All right, you're listening to Now You See Me, Brian Taylor.
Go Brian.
Brian Tyler, sorry, Brian.
Brian Tyler.
From Now You See Me, Now You Don't. Arguably not the best out of all of the Now You See Me.
It's simply a movie. There's pictures on the screen. I'll say that much.
It's a good time. All right, I'm going to pass it over to a guilty pleasure film from Grace.
Yes. Okay, my guilty pleasure movie is Twilight. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm talking about the first one, but this is really applicable to every single Twilight movie in the series. And I'm coming to this from someone who has not read the books, will never read the books. Yeah. I'm simply an avid Twilight movie fan.
Yeah.
But I wish I remember the first time I saw this. I don't, but I know I've seen it probably like we're nearing 10 times.
Yeah. Oh,
like
wow.
The amount of times this movie just happens to be on. I live in a world surrounded by Twilight fans. I cannot escape Twilight. I was going through my Letterboxd and there was a week in first year where I watched Twilight 2 times with two different groups of people. Like it just follows me everywhere. So I don't know. Moral of the story, I love Twilight. It's filmed in BC. I was actually seeing it there was like the Cullen House is in like North Van. It was filmed at like a high school in East Van.
Yes.
So we it feels kind trip. Of nice to like sit down and watch Kristen support Stewart wander around BC.
Yeah.
Support local.
Exactly.
But no, I just love it. Like it's so dumb. Like the premise is just ridiculous and it gets more and more dumb as the movies go on and it's just awesome. Like I guess if people don't know what Twilight's about, it's about this girl Bella who falls in love with the vampire Edward, and there's also a werewolf Jacob, and they're in this love triangle situation. It's awesome. My favorite movie is admittedly Breaking Dawn Part 1, which is a dumb movie. It's they get married and they're on their honeymoon. That is like essentially the entire movie.
Okay.
And I out of high school. I love it with my entire heart. She turns into a vampire at the end of it. It's awesome. I don't know. These movies are just so like nostalgia. And watching like by the end, you can just tell Robert Pattinson does not want to be there.
I know.
Kristen Stewart does not want to be there. Yeah. They are not invested in this, but I'm seated.
Like, you gotta do it.
So I know. I should have been funding these movies myself. Like, I am their entire fan base.
What a crazy returns. I feel like it's just kind of a movie that like people have on. Like I'm out of place and Twilight's on. It's just kind of like a movie I don't have to like pay
attention to. It's everywhere.
Like I can look up and be like, oh, hold on, Spider Monkey. All right.
I
can like check back in like half an hour and probably still know what's going on.
It's so like culturally relevant, I find. Like Skin of a Killer, Bella. Or there's like so many quotes that just keep, I don't know, resurfacing.
Yeah.
I'm like, it will never go away. No. When you think Twilight is gone, it just comes back stronger. Yeah, it's awesome.
Much to like, I imagine Robert Pattinson's chagrin
because
he is fighting. He's trying so hard to distance himself. Like
he's doing complete opposite. Yeah. He's in the lighthouse and like all this stuff. And if I saw him on the street, unfortunately, Twilight would be
number
the
one.
First thing I mentioned to him. Is life changing.
Yeah.
I have an Edward Cullen, giant Edward Cullen poster in my room that someone found in a closet at
my
high school and gave to me. A teacher was like, do you want this? And I was like, hell yes. So it is like, it is ripped. Like it is torn to shreds.
Yeah.
Hung up in my dorm room, hung up in my bedroom. It's going to be in my house that I settle down in eventually. Like,
that's like over the fireplace.
Yeah, I'm going to get like a frame for it at this point, but I will cherish that poster.
So this has been like since a high school thing. Like, were like the person who did Twilight? Like,
I have I've cycled through 2 Twilight graphic tees because I just wore them. I wore them to bed mostly, but like they just got so thin from all the times I wear them that I'm now on my second Twilight shirt.
That's crazy.
I don't know how we got here, guys, but this just is the movie that speaks to me greatly.
I feel like I get it. Like, I remember like every time I've watched these movies, I've had very strange experiences. Mm-hmm. I think the first time I ate way too much tiramisu before I realized I was lactose intolerant. And I thought I was just so sickened at the thought of, like, Bella having a child. And I was like, she's 19. Why do I feel sick? It was just because I ate too much milk.
Yeah.
And then the second time, I was, like, hanging out with a friend for the first time. And we're like, okay, we're going to do all Twilights in one night. We start at 11 p.m. Critical mistake.
Yes.
I fell asleep during, like, the third one. I guess she went to go throw a blanket on me.
Yeah.
And I freaked out. I woke up. I freaked out because I thought she was trying to smother me in my sleep. I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? So both my Twilight experiences have been very strange.
Yeah.
And I think it's been something that's definitely haunted me. Like, I know a lot of people who wrote, like, essays on Twilight because I took a cult cinema class last year. So Twilight was a big one for people to be like, I'm going to write 3,000 words on Twilight. It's like, hey, you know what? Mad respect if you can do it. Yeah. If you can swing Edward Cullen in an academic context, power to you.
I actually wrote an essay on Twilight in high school. In my creative writing class, we made a magazine, and I basically, my page of the magazine was arguing why Edward was the better choice for Bella than Jacob.
Okay.
I rewatched every movie just in the back of that classroom and took excessive notes. It was like, this was my homework, and I've never enjoyed doing something more.
An education.
Oh, yeah. People did, like, serious articles, and I was like, hey, guys, here's my spread about Edward and Bella being soulmates. Yeah.
So, try to learn a little something.
Yeah, exactly. Read up. Required reading. Like, I think it was a hit. I got a good grade. Yeah,
I would imagine. I'd read it.
Yeah, I love subjecting my teacher, who obviously did not care, to read that article and just mark it, like, without context.
Maybe you made them, like, fine. A twihard, though.
I hope I did. Like,
that's what they're called?
Yeah. Twihards. What? Yeah.
Okay.
Proud twihard over here.
I can tell.
Yeah, thank you.
I love it. I remember the first time I watched, it was not ideal viewing situation because my friend had brought the book on a camping trip and I started reading the book, but I wanted to watch the movie so much that I would read, like, a couple chapters and then watch the movie up until what I recognized. And I would, like, go to, there was, like, a little hut with, like, a little desk at the front of the campsite that had Wi-Fi, and I was with her family too, and I'd be like, I gotta go, guys. I'm just gonna,
Twilight time.
I'm gonna go watch a bit of Twilight at the little hut.
That's so funny.
And I'd do it, like, three chapters and then, like, 5 minutes of watching.
Everybody has a Twilight story. That's what I'm saying.
And that's the beautiful, like, part about it.
It's community at the end of the day.
I know, but has it gone so far that we don't register guilt about it anymore?
Maybe.
And should we register more guilt?
I feel like when you watch the first one, I don't feel much guilt. But then as I just find myself continue watching them, I'm like, whoa. I'm like, we've, like, gone a bit.
I need to pump the
brakes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was sick one day in high school and I just watched all of them in a day. And by the end of the day, I was like, what did I just do? Like, what did I just subject myself to? Like, but I mean, had a great time. But in hindsight, I really could have done anything else. That's fine.
Yeah. It is kind of like the first one, I feel like I'm like, okay, you know, this is, like, quirky. Nor, I mean, granted, I haven't rewatched it of my own volition.
Yeah.
I think it's just been a thing where it's like, people be like, oh, let's watch Twilight. It's like, hey, you watch Twilight. You know, no one's going to say no to it. So they already watch it. But like, once we get to, like, the second one, I'm like, yeah, we need to do something else. Like,
yeah.
I need to do something else.
I think it's always better in your memory.
Yeah.
Like, every time I watch it, it gets worse.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, saying, talking about this out loud, I have not realized how many Twilight stories I have to tell. Like, my poster, my essay, like, there's so much stuff I just forgot about. We have my t-shirts. Life. I'm like, wow, I sound a bit psychotic in a way.
Okay, so this conversation about is Twilight. Good for you. This is good for you.
It's like I'm coming to my senses a little bit.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Okay, yeah, but the no judgment zone.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
It's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the thing. Like, everyone's experienced it. And, like, no one's avoided Twilight.
No. Everyone's brushed arms.
If someone said no to Twilight in front of me, we're going to have to cut them off. Yeah. Like, you just did the wrong decision.
Yeah. And, like, I was really surprised the first time I listened to it, like, how good the soundtrack is. Like, they've got, like, Tom York's, like, Hearing Damage on there, which was, like, it's one of my favorite songs at the time. And I was like, what's good? What?
I know. I actually, wrote in my notes, the soundtrack is awesome. Like, baller, I mean, there's Super Massive Black Hole.
Uh-oh.
The song that, like, Bella walks down the aisle to, I think it's, I forget what it's called. I just know it's so good. And I would listen to it so much. It's just, it just feels so, like,
Yeah.
There's some peaceful moments of Twilight. Like, yeah. I just love it. It's so good.
The one I'm always quoting, and I don't know which movie it's from, but it's the one that's like, there's a possibility.
Yes. And Bella's like sat in front of the window.
Yeah, when she's like going through her depression.
That was great. Awesome. I love that. Is like, commend that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That, I'll give Stephanie Meyers that. That goes crazy. That goes crazy. Everything else around it, the like two chapters where it's like blank. Awesome. Great.
I like the part where there's no words.
Yeah. Big fan of blank page. I'm like, oh, you went crazy with this one. This is great, Stephanie. Good stuff. We're on a first name basis like that.
That's so funny.
Well, on the topic of music a little bit, should we give a listen to your pick for today? Was
Supermassive Black Hole plays during the iconic baseball scene in the first movie. Enjoy. Bless your ears.
All right, that was Supermassive Black Hole by Muse, and you also got a little teaser to the song we're going to play next. It was just an Easter egg for you. Can you guess what movie we're talking about? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's X-Men Apocalypse. Emma, tell me a little bit about that.
I'm sorry to anyone who knows me and is listening in. I've tortured everyone in my life with this movie. I first watched it when I was in, I want to say like grade 7 or grade 8. And then immediately I became hooked on it. I don't know what it was. I was really into like superhero movies at the time, specifically like X-Men films. Mm. So this one, I don't know. It scratched an itch. I think it was my favorite character was Quicksilver, and he was in the whole X-Men Apocalypse movie. So I was like, all right. Yeah. We can lock in on this. And it got to a point where I think I could just, like, play it in my mind. Like, I could just, like, sit on a couch and just watch it in my mind. It got banned in my house because I watched it too much. That's awesome. I could only watch it on my birthday because that's when I got to pick the movie. I made my friends watch it. I dressed up as characters for Halloween. I found, like, a bootleg poster of it. It got me into, like, music, I would say. Because, like, before this, I didn't listen to music. And then I had this year where I had a really weird taste where I'd listen to Eurythmics, obviously, yep. Honeymoon Suite, Fall Out Boy, and, like, Grandson. So it was really, wow. It was all over the place.
Okay.
And I remember it all died when I went to go see X-Men Dark Phoenix, which is something no one saw because it was shit. And no one should see it, and we should just burn any copies we have left of it. It needs to go. I was so disappointed by the movie, I cried.
Oh,
people thought, like, I had, like something was wrong with me. Like, yeah. I had, like, friends text me, like, oh my god, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I just saw X-Men Dark Phoenix, and it sucked. So it was really an emotional moment for me. It's something that's so quintessential to who I am today. Like, I would not be me without X-Men Apocalypse, for better, wow. or for worse, unfortunately.
I love
it,
that.
It did get me into movies. And it is 5 stars in the heart of my letterbox, but I would say to everyone, don't watch it. Like, do not watch this. Save yourself. It's not good.
Okay, wait. So the one that you were really disappointed with was X-Men...
Dark Phoenix.
Do people feel that way about X-Men Apocalypse?
Yeah, it's universally kind of panned. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like a very, like, 3-star-ish, 2.5 sort of superhero movie.
But okay.
Stacked cast as well. Yeah. Crazy stuff. Because, like, they got Oscar Isaac in, and he's just
Jennifer
in
Lawrence.
Yeah.
Queen.
Yeah, she's okay. in it. She's Mystique. She's awesome. Like, I mean... Hugh Jackman's there for a bit, of course. It's gotta be, you know. He's never free from the Wolverine chains, except maybe now, because apparently maybe. Sheep Detectives is like...
Oh, guys, Sheep Detectives?
Yeah.
Awesome. Like, just a side note, awesome.
Is it, like, actually?
That's actually okay. crazy. Like, that's crazy. Because I remember seeing trailers for it and going, whatever. And now people are like, yeah, The Godfather? Never heard of it. It's Sheep Detectives.
Awesome. It's awesome. Okay.
Oh my god, I gotta lock it on Sheep Detectives. I gotta see what he was up to after this movie. And debts to pay off, clearly.
Okay, I need to go cleanse myself because I just saw Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah, not too. Good.
Guys, I liked Devil Wears Prada.
Oh my god.
But I haven't seen the first one in, like, years, so I don't really, like, I don't really yeah. know what it's up against, unfortunately.
I haven't seen the new one, so I've like, got a little spectrum going on.
Okay. I'm easily entertained, let me just say.
I consider myself the same, yeah. but that was hard. Let's not get into it.
Yeah, okay. We're distracting from your X-Men.
X-Men Apocalypse, if I know you said you don't recommend for other people to yes. watch it. But have you you've shown it to your friends? Like, you've made people.
Yes.
Okay, so
oh, I have.
Something evil inside
I'm not,
you.
I'm not proud
and
of it.
And if I did watch it,
yeah.
what would I have to watch before it?
I guess, maybe X-Men Days of Future Past. Maybe. But, like, it's also...
How many X-Men movies are there?
6.
Wow.
Technically. Jeez. But then there's... Okay, so there's 3 of them. X1, X2, X3 that came out in the early 2000s, directed Bryan Singer. They get retconned in X-Men Days of Future Past when they go back in time, basically erase all of them. So they
Ooh.
Don't matter.
Okay,
awesome. And then there's Apocalypse and Dark Phoenix. So it's basically you can divide them into 2, like, trilogies. The first one is generally considered better, I would agree. Mm-hmm. The third one kind of sucks in that one, too. Second trilogy... Yeah. Days of Future Past, great. Considered a great film. I agree. Great film. Second one, yeah. Dark Phoenix, yeah. You know, it just kind of gets worse as it goes on. And then they kind of gave up on the X-Men, and Sony sold them to Marvel, and Damn. I think the IP is just rotting somewhere in their basement. So
awesome.
Set them free. Let me see Wolverine again. But yeah, I think it's just really like a moment in time for me. Like, it really evokes, like, being in the summer in grade 8 and somehow managing to find a way to work this into conversation. Like, I was a preacher and this was my Bible. Like, I was crazy with it to people. I was just also a big fan of, like, forcing my friends to like what I liked.
Mm,
like, this was same. The same summer I showed my friends Sherlock. I showed them Good Omens. Like, this is just to really get a
yeah,
sense
yeah.
of, like, okay, where okay. I was at mentally at that time. It was very much in... queer baiting TV
yeah.
was where I was at that moment in time. I think if there is one thing, there is one scene which Sweet Dreams Are Made of This is scored over.
Okay.
It's a scene, Quicksilver is like running through an exploding building. It sounds lame to describe it. It is cinematic excellence.
So lame. Running through an exploding.
But he's like super fast. So it took him like a few months to shoot it. It's just MPers on a treadmill. But, like, the editing of this looks cool. He's so fast.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He did that with no
yeah.
effects.
No CGI.
He's just like that.
Fast.
Yeah.
That's epic.
It is. You know, when they let Evan Peters out of the American Horror Story guy's basement, he does some cool stuff. Like, yeah. I do American Animals, one of my favorite movies. Mm-hmm. He's in that. He's great mm-hmm. in that. And I'm mm-hmm. like, awesome, you know? Okay. And now you're going to go play like Tate or something like that. Like, we got to get you free. You can't go back for Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, free him from Ryan Murphy.
Free him from Ryan Murphy. Free him. He's got him trapped. he got out for 2 years to go to the X-Men movies and then immediately went right back in.
Does he have an Emmy? Did he win for Jeffrey Dahmer?
Oh, did he? I hope he didn't.
I hate that. Yeah.
I really hope he
did. I hope Ryan Murphy didn't get him I hope his he did. Emmy.
Yeah.
Ryan Murphy's my guilty pleasure. That should have been my Glee.
Just anything Ryan. Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about not movies.
Guys, let's talk about Glee.
Yeah.
No, I actually wish.
I've seen too much of that show.
Should we give a listen to Sweet Dreams?
Please do.
Okay.
My fave song. Of
Sweet Dreams for real this time. Here it is. All right, wow. That's Sweet Dreams.
It's just like junior awesome high.
Are you there? Are you there?
Like I feel like I'm in grade 8. I'm ripping songs off of library CDs again. I was ripping off the library. I'm sorry, Calgary Public Library. Yeah, I was burning CDs with like that. I would take the CDs, burn the songs off of them, and transfer them onto my phone.
That's awesome.
Sorry, Calgary Public Library. I didn't pay for music ever, but yeah. let's move on from my piracy. What's the next movie? What's the next movie we're talking about?
We're talking about Wicked.
Wicked. Okay, Wicked was my choice.
Okay.
I watched Wicked was not, I'm into like musicals, like an aggressive amount, like a very embarrassing amount. But for some reason, I like never got into Wicked. So I had listened to like a few songs here and there when I was like 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then now this movie's coming out and I was like, well, I have to go see this musical. I'm like, Ariana Grande, I'm seated. And I go see Wicked. In my life, there's life before, there's life after. Truly.
Wow.
I love this. I've been changed for good. Say that. Yes.
You could say that. I know.
It's like my sister and I, my sister, keep in mind, does not care about musicals in the slightest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We left that theater and we were like, this has got to be the best thing we've ever seen.
This has got to be up
there. Yes. The way we counted down the days to the second one was crazy. Like we were, I bought my tickets for Wicked for good a month and a half before the movie came out. Just FYI.
You're committed.
I was
just in case.
I was just in case. I didn't know what was gonna happen. Needed to have the tickets.
Yeah.
Got the tickets, got amazing seats.
That's awesome.
And I had Wicked in IMAX time of my life, guys. It was awesome.
And like you guys are low-key like Wicked Maxing right now. You guys can't see obviously. We are, but like
now I Wicked Max like so like unintentionally. Like I have a pink and green bracelet on.
God.
And I'm like, I just have Wicked on I have, I counted the other day, the amount of Wicked merch that has just fallen into my lap is messed up. What? I think I have like over 10 pieces of Wicked merch.
That's crazy.
The best. Well, okay. I was at Bar Trivia like 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
My team came last. Yeah. And as a last place prize, we genuinely got Wicked like fake lashes. Like Wicked lash extensions, and he announces that and then announces my team, and I was like, this is the universe.
I'm
like,
you won.
This is the best person to give these Wicked eyelashes to. And I have these Wicked eyelashes. Like, said he said it like it was a bad thing. He was like, now Wicked someone's eyelashes. Gonna get stuck with these Wicked eyelashes. And I was like, please. I was like, if I
hand
knew last place got Wicked eyelashes, I would have done it so much worse. Like I would have I would have not filled in the trivia sheet.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me?
Oh yeah.
So that was my most recent piece of Wicked merch that I've gotten. That's but beautiful. I have shirts. I have a cup.
Damn.
Someone gave me a cardigan.
Damn.
I have a Wicked cardigan.
That's wild.
Somehow.
I think I only saw it once. I only saw Wicked once in theaters, and it was like, I don't even remember. I was very strange. I was back in my hometown. I was like, what else am I gonna do? I saw it. And I was like, all right,
yeah,
like it was,
that's a great Wicked experience. You know?
I was never that committed to Wicked like as a musical. Mm-hmm. I think like was also my thing is I never listened to it.
Yeah,
so I haven't seen the second part.
So the second part is like definitely not as good, but I love it. Like I unfortunately had the time of my life. And let's not forget Wicked the first one is a Best Picture nominee. Let's just keep that in mind. Like this was like an acclaimed movie at a point in time. So
it was a cultural moment for sure.
Yes. Like guys, Ariana Grande acting again, like I'm into it. Unfortunately.
Is she gonna keep going with that?
She's in Fawkerinlaw coming out with Ben Stiller. So
there's
some things on the horizon.
Yeah. She'll be in movies. You know? Yeah.
Let's go for Wicked 3.
Yeah.
That'll be, it's like Now You See Me 3. Wicked, too
Wicked, too Furious.
Too Furious.
Too Wicked, too Furious.
The next generation.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Yes.
Okay, but like Wicked, the musical doesn't go any further than what we've seen.
No,
like someone would have to write something new.
Hey, I volunteer. This will be my passion project.
Yes. Wicked 3.
Yeah. I'll be interviewed on this show in like 50 years for directing a Wicked, the third Wicked
R
movie.
Word. Oh,
yeah. Yes.
You'll Wicked it up.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
that's amazing.
I love Wicked.
Okay, but the first still beats the second for you?
I think so, but I like this, like, For Good and No Good Deed are my favorite songs, and they're both in the second one.
That's
so
tough.
Like I do kind of like the performances in the second one.
Yeah,
but like the first one, I know it came out like 2 years ago, that's like nostalgic for me at this point.
Mm-hmm.
My roommate, I showed this to her with my other friend who's obsessed with Wicked, and she fell asleep, and we took that personally.
Yeah, you gotta kick her out. That's
yeah
it.
Like it was horrible. She was fully like, she did not want to watch, and we're like, you're watching, and then she falls asleep, and I think we tried to get her to watch it again the next day, and she was like, no, she was like, I'm not doing that.
That's
and we're
crazy.
Like, okay, we'll watch it again without you. Like, we just love Wicked.
Like, that doesn't matter to me.
I love it.
So have you seen it a lot at home then? Because to me, like, if I were to feel the same way about Wicked, which maybe I do a little bit, but not as much as you.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I would put it in a bit of a different category versus, like, Twilight or Now You See Me, where, like, you can rewatch it so much and, like, have it in the background and it can be, like, a home movie. And it's like guilty pleasure in that way of like, Jesus Christ, how many times have I seen this? Yeah. Versus like Wicked is like guilty pleasure in like, I would always pay for like IMAX. Like if they put it back in theaters, like it's like the theater experience. Like I haven't tried to watch it at home.
I think I've seen the first one like 2.5 times because I started it with someone and we just never finished
That's
it. But
solid.
Then I've only seen the second one in theaters once.
Okay.
IMAX.
Interesting.
But I just like, I'll maybe on the 1 year anniversary, I'll throw Wicked for Good back on and see how it holds up in the comfort of my own home.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's a commitment.
Awesome movies.
Well, we had one more guilty pleasure film on our roster, which we can whiz through very quickly right now.
Again, sorry to everyone who knows me. You're all going to hate hearing me talk about the stuff I've talked about for my entire life. But The Goldfinch.
Yes.
I love how bad it is. I watched it with my sister because she was really into Finn Wolfhard for a period. So we just started like Stranger Things just all through his filmography. This was like the year of It and Stranger Things. So it was really like, you know, it was a time and a place. And it's like, honestly, I think if you don't read the book, it's like a fine movie.
Yeah.
And it's low-key like crazy cast. Like I think Sarah Paulson's in
it. Is Nicole Kidman in it?
I think
Am I imagining that?
It's either Nicole Kidman or Sarah Paulson.
Yeah.
It's one of them as like...
Legends.
Like one of their like aunts or something like that.
Yeah,
or maybe it's both of them. I think they both
like,
be one, in it.
Is
actually,
is Nicole Kidman like his mom?
Maybe
she might be in like Us. I could be making this
no,
up.
I think you're right. That there's like there definitely there is a famous woman in there.
Yes,
which is the famous woman in the movie.
Yeah,
who'd have thought? But it's like it's a sort of thing where like people will be like, oh, I hate that movie. And I'll be like, yeah, that's fair. You know,
yeah.
And I'm not gonna, I'm not Loki. I'm not gonna die for it. Like
the famous woman. There's two. Nicole Kidman and Sarah Paulson.
Yes!
We're both right.
We're so good at this. There are two famous women in this famous movie.
That's incredible.
And unfortunately, Ansel Elgort's in it, which is like,
it's
a really disturbing trend between my favorite movies. Like this and Baby Driver, I'm like,
he ruined so many good things.
He's fucking there, yeah.
That's
the ultimate
story.
Guilty
so good.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It was Ansel Elgort's film. Hey, Divergent, like...
Divergent,
Fault in Our Stars.
Low-key, Fault in Our Stars, I consider picking.
Is he in Love, Simon, or is that the other
one?
No, Ty Sheridan?
Nick Robinson?
Guys,
Love, Simon, I also consider picking. Just everything. Oh, I love it.
Oh, awesome. So many. It's just such a town. It's like all the Tumblr movies. It's all the movies that were Tumblr gift sets. And this one, triple platinum on Tumblr.
Like, oh, yeah.
This is still going triple platinum. Like, yeah, the book, great. The movie, meh. Soundtrack, also great.
Yes.
And gay.
You know, yeah,
the director of We Live in Time, hate that guy. He's the drugs made them gay. They weren't actually gay. Shut up, Nick Crowley.
They
you don't
were
know
gay.
Shit. They were gay.
Yes.
Whatever, Nick Crowley. Fucking drag.
He doesn't know ball. Like
he
we
doesn't
know ball.
Know ball. I don't care that you directed the film. He's the reason it flopped. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say that, Nick. I'll
if
say it to your
face.
If
we were in charge, it would have been a different story.
That would have been an ultimate classic.
I've lost the conversation. I don't know what you guys are talking about, but I agree.
Yes!
That's all I can say.
Solidarity in
but
the studio.
You picked one song from this film, and you said it has a great soundtrack, but why did you pick this one?
I picked this song because I love Radiohead, and it was this or New Order, and it was a really tough decision because there's a lot. There's like two Radiohead songs, a New Order song. Like the budget's crazy. The budget's crazy. And this one of my favorite Radiohead songs. So
okay, let's give it a listen.
Let's give it a listen.
Thanks for tuning in to listen to
Thank
our
you.
Guilty pleasures. And this is Everything in Its Right Place.
Yes.
Okay, here we go.